Court Officials, EPL and World Soccer Podcast. I am your host, Tom Miller, here with Manchester City fan James Lewis and Arsenal fan Ken Lee. No Dr. Pete, guys. I'm not sure if, as Tottenham has checked out, he's checking out.
He's been about as present as Tottenham's title run.
Well, that's not nice. He's been around more than that. Tottenham was out of the title like a week into the season. That's not right. That is not right. We will talk title races. We talked a lot last week as it was settled. Well, more like 2 weeks ago, but we talked about it a lot last week. And the big takeaway from this week, guys, is the Champions League is settled. We have one relegation battler remaining. We have a couple Europa League teams that have been cemented as we go into the last match of the season. Pretty much everything's settled, unfortunately, for Sunday, guys. There's really, it's just that last relegation spot and I guess the Conference League, right?
Well, you know, those things all exist. And what we should pay attention to as well, relevant for next season, is the final championship spot that's going to get promoted. So that game's on Saturday.
Yes, that game is
Luton Town versus Coventry. And yep. that game is always a banger.
Have you seen there's like some show I think coming out, or like there was some short on NBC or Peacock. Have you seen the Luton Stadium?
Yeah.
It's like some dude's backyard.
The entranceway looks like. You guys ever taken the toilet off? Lifted the toilet up and there's just a hole.
Yeah.
Like a pipe leading down into it. It looks like a toilet has been removed from like an 18th century house. That's what the entrance to
Coventry looks like.
Pretty
sure too. They have to, it's going to cost them something like £5 million just to be Premier League standard ready.
That's nothing if they get promoted.
No, I know. I think it's more than that though, but it's not like much more than that. But yeah,
their stadium like awning literally butts up against like working class townhomes.
Yeah, it's awesome
in England. You know, like the real skinny ones. Can't even fit like two windows on the second floor. Just the one window.
I hope they win. Yeah, I hope they're in the league.
If I remember correctly after seeing the images, like it's not like the charming part of England. It's more the rundown like Harry Potter alleyways, you know.
It's like these are where bricklayers live and they laid these bricks themselves.
I could be really wrong here, but weren't they in like the third division like 4 years ago? They've made a crazy wild run.
They've come up quite a bit. Coventry has also been yo-yoing a little bit, too. Coventry, who have been in the Premier League before, I think they've also dipped down at least one league below.
I think Coventry was there, were relegated at the beginning of the actual Premier League.
Yeah.
I think that's right. I think they were relegated right when the Premier League started. And
bad timing.
I don't know if they've been back. Sense, but I mean the bottom line is, guys, that'll be an awesome game. It's a ton of fun. I would take any odds on red cards because there's just so much emotion and
gladiatorial
it feels like
combat.
When you're watching the games, huh?
It's gladiatorial combat.
Yeah, and it feels like the crowd is like on the field because they stand the whole time, they're screaming the whole time. It'll be awesome. I'm psyched about that game.
Yeah, I'll
that's
be watching.
Really. I mean, what else is there going on, guys? Europa is decided. Liverpool and Brighton are in Europa. I guess it's Villa versus Tottenham for the Conference League, which Pete does not want to get into for Tottenham. I think that's it besides the relegation fight. There's one spot open, two spots open for relegation for three teams. So we'll get into that. Let's start, guys, with the result that decided the Champions League today. The final Champions League spot was decided as Manchester United beat the ever-living crap out of the guys, the worst team in Europe for the last 5 months. Is that about right?
It is right.
Since November,
The worst run, in the world.
And Ken, you said earlier you heard a stat that if it hadn't been for the first seven matches under Thomas Tuchel, that Chelsea would be relegated.
I don't hear that stat. I just did that off like based off of the fixture list. But yeah, I think Tuchel, they fired the man who's kept them in the league.
Well, yeah, it's not that hard to figure out. I mean, they're only 10 points above Everton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They literally stopped playing in November.
That's absolutely insane.
Yeah, they won quite a few games in the beginning of the season, and that's really it.
And the amazing thing is that they invested so much. They invested so much as to be almost like an easy way for Manchester City fans to be like, well, you can spend a lot of money, but look at this. You know, like,
it's an easy Manchester out. City fans, it's an easy themselves. Out for us. It's an easy out.
Yeah, it's
out
such
for
an
us.
Easy out.
United it is a pretty easy out for us, too.
Well, let's get back to this game. We'll talk about Chelsea towards the end of the show. But I want to talk about this match, the Champions League, Europa, and the title race, all that stuff. Manchester United destroys Chelsea. Coming into this match, it was, you know, United coming into April, at the end of April, had only won 3 of their last 9 matches as they were starting to get sloggy. So the title race tightened up because Liverpool had won, well, at that point they had won 3 or 4 in a row and were picking up steam. And it looked like we were starting to sweat, guys. Even you guys were starting to sweat with me because nobody wants Liverpool to be in the Champions League.
I was right. Well, sweaty. I was, as you'll recall, I said that we would never talk again if you allowed this to happen.
Yes.
And
I was sweaty.
And Pete had already, you know, Tottenham had already given up, so they were out of the way. Unacceptable.
Yeah, but I mean, United, going into the end of April, had won 3 of 9, like I said, and then they lost to Brighton, and then they lost to West Ham. And all of a sudden, they needed 3 wins in their last 4, while Liverpool won every game in between. They needed to win 3 of their last 4 in order to guarantee the Champions League, and I was starting to sweat a bit. Liverpool's getting the breaks. We were not getting the breaks. We were out of gas by about the 50th minute of every game, having played a game every three days. But lo and behold, there is a savior at the end, guys. Not only does Chelsea kick off their weekend by giving the first guard of honor to Manchester City, who clinched the title with the Arsenal loss, Chelsea got to give that first guard of honor, and then subsequently obviously lose to Manchester City to like a super backup team.
Yeah.
B squad. And then they show up at Manchester United and immediately allow a goal in the 6th minute to settle United's nerves. And just guys,
wait. After an absolutely ridiculous miss by Mudryk.
Yes, I was just going to say, it wasn't like Manchester United in this game just blew the doors off of them, off of a limp Chelsea team. Because in the end, yes, it did show up like that. But Chelsea missed, like, within the first 45 minutes before the second goal, Chelsea missed 3 attempts on goal that had an XG of higher than 0.5. And the misses, guys, were comical. They were like trip over your own feet, fall down misses. Mudryk, like you said, James, does not have a Premier League goal in 17 appearances in the Prem.
Won't have one.
And will not have one. The attempted finish on the cross that went right through to him was just the finish of somebody who, like, forgot how to play soccer. Like, wrong foot, didn't even make contact, and the rest of their misses in this game, I believe that they had 5 clear-cut chances in this game, which doesn't look good for United, by the way.
No.
They had 5 clear-cut chances, but they were comical misses that would have been easier to score.
Yeah. The Mudryk miss is crazy. And what defined this game for me early on was, like, every Chelsea player was just slipping and sliding around the pitch. It wasn't just Mudryk. Like,
yeah, that was
Gallagher
strange.
Slipped, like, 3 or 4 times. I have literally no idea what it was, because it was only the Chelsea players.
Yeah, it was a very strange surface, and there's no reason for that, because it didn't rain in this game. So I don't know, maybe it's not like we scouted out Chelsea and we're like, oh, I know what we can stop Chelsea with. We can just wet the grass real well. No, to beat Chelsea, all you have to do is play against them. Frank Lampard's strategy of pushing his entire midfield, including his defensive midfielders, into the box for attacks was so bizarre and terrible. I mean, United could have had 6 or 7 goals off the counter if they had a number 9, And even so, they scored four goals, you know?
Was it Bruno that racked the post? Like,
they hit the post.
Blasted it. Yeah.
Yeah. He drilled it off the post. Sancho had a miss. There was a lot of really bad misses, but it didn't matter. United still scored four times. There's a pretty funny looking play where Rashford did a dummy on Kepa, and he actually blocked it, and then he was scrambling for the ball in typical little boy Kepa way.
That's a good goal. That was a dirty dummy. Yeah, it was a dirty dummy. Yeah,
it was. But United win 4-1. Liverpool desperately needed a favor from this Chelsea team, Ken. Which, if you need a favor from this Chelsea team, obviously you're in rough shape.
Yeah, there's no other team that Liverpool wouldn't have wanted to be playing United today.
Seriously, can you guys think of a team that you would rather have if you're Manchester United than Chelsea at home?
No, what a good team to play to solidify your Champions League spot. Also, how crazy is it and awesome for the non-Chelsea supporters that Chelsea's turned into that team, the team you want to play, home or away, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I don't see how possibly it changes overnight. And by overnight, I mean before next season starts. So
well, they did. Todd Bowie stepped down as basically just said his role in the football operations is terminated. Basically,
isn't the other guy stepping down too? The guy that has the title of president of business.
Oh, £100 billion later, you decide business. You might want some football intelligence in making the decisions here. That's amazing.
Guy whose title is president of business.
That's amazing.
His name's Tom Glick, and
I think
he's also stepping down.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really interesting window. I was thinking about their FIFA Fair Play stuff. Obviously, they're going to have to do some, I don't know, reorganization on that kind of stuff.
Well, it won't matter because they're not in Europe.
Closely. True, but the Prem actually has FFP too.
The Prem has one, and Europe, if they get back, will count.
Yeah,
sure.
Will count as one of the years that they count.
Sure, they will.
I'm with Ken,
and I'm sure the penalty will be heavy.
Yeah, I was just gonna say though. I mean, you can't blatantly go past it, but I do think that maybe part of the plan is to sell all these players.
How?
They're on that have
10-year contracts.
Well, not those guys. I'm talking about the ones that aren't on 10-year contracts.
Yeah.
I think
if you're at Chelsea, you're on high wages. It's going to be hard to get rid of any of those guys.
True. That is true. But you have teams, Manchester United, Arsenal, probably Tottenham. I mean, I think Tottenham
I'd take on Mason Mount for the right price.
Yeah.
I think Mount's going to go.
There are players there.
Kovacic is going to go.
Kovacic is good.
I think Gallagher should go.
Gallagher will go. Pulisic
I'd like to see Pulisic go to a mid-table Premier League club.
I think if Everton stay up, he's going to Everton, is what my opinion is.
I wouldn't mind that move.
I would like him to go to Italy or Spain and not get hurt and just be the man.
I think those leagues are they're too easy, though. Like, it's such a false sense.
Yeah, I don't need him. I don't care. I want him to score 30 goals and be super confident.
We want his confidence high, yeah. Like, yeah, Michael, that's all I want. When Michael Bradley was at his best, he was playing for Roma.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
That's right.
I'd still like to see him in the Premier League. But yeah, he's brittle. He does probably need to leave England.
I would like him to go to Italy. There's a lot of guys they need to sell. I heard Kepa could be on the way out.
Jeez, this is his last stop. No one's going to buy him. He's too short.
I mean... You know his advanced metrics, and this is something that I think we need to talk about at some point. His advanced metrics are really solid, but we watched the games. You know, like he's a part of why they were so bad. I mean, he wasn't dropping balls in the goal like De Gea or passing to the other team. He just can't stop shots. That's important.
Well,
I feel like there's a problem in that with the way that they calculate XG and the practical application of how savable a shot is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, because I see players, like I think Ederson had a negative, it was like goals allowed XG metric, saves or something like that. It's like, it's not saves directly.
No, it's
but
like
it's
expected saves versus like saves actual goals scored or something like that.
Well, there's a lot of gymnastics that go into those type of stats anyway. So, I mean,
yeah. I mean, it does, it's a moot point. He makes 200K, and I think he has another year in his contract. So
nah, he'll go back to Spain to like a mid-table team on a relatively cheap contract. That's easy.
Yeah, but the point is with Chelsea, though, they have to get rid of...
So many players.
I think like 20. 8. 20 is a lot. I think it's at least 8.
Get rid of 20 and still have 15.
I think they could, too.
You know, and you know Lukaku's coming back. Fofana.
Fofana,
you guys picked on him so badly. I feel so... I don't know why, but I feel very bad for him.
He's supposed to be good.
Like,
they paid,
he
like,
looked
75
like
75 million for him.
He looked hot at Leicester. You know, young,
yeah,
quick.
Every player looked hot before they went to Chelsea.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's a bad look right now. This is a bad season.
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys, I think we already answered this question, but is this like the worst season in terms of expected results versus actual results you guys have ever seen from any team? I'm thinking about it. None of our teams have ever done anything like this. United's worst Prem season ever was last year.
Well, City they had finished... a Prem season where we scored 10 total home goals in the entire
season.
Okay,
but what were the expectations going into that season? It's probably like
somehow lower than that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like in terms of where you could have finished, like Chelsea coming into the season, I think we all would have expected them probably to finish top four right around there.
With a billion pounds? Fifth. Yes. Top four. No less.
Yeah. Top four. And then
no
to
less.
Finish. I mean, essentially, to finish, I don't know, 14th place?
12th.
Depends on what happens.
They're
going to
finish 12th. Unless they, I mean, they'll lose. But they'll lose the last game. Why would they win? But
finish 12th and have the least amount of points in the league.
They play Newcastle.
Since November. In the league since November. That includes Leicester.
Yeah.
They're going
to
lose Newcastle.
They're going to lose to Newcastle for sure.
If Wolves beat Arsenal, and Arsenal players are all on the beach mentally.
Yeah, Arsenal's going to lose probably for sure. Yeah, dude, they're going to finish in 13th place. Maybe 14th if West Ham wins. No, because there's probably goal difference.
Chelsea suck.
Yeah, Chelsea
spent
sucks.
Too much time on this.
They spent a billion pounds, and they're going to waltz into the summer having to fire Frank Lampard. Again.
Well,
yeah,
speaking of Fat Frank, City legend, I liked the question that was posed out in the Twitterverse. That was, which team was worse, Lampard's Chelsea or Lampard's Everton?
Dude, that was
definitely
the meanest tweet. The meanest tweet of 2023.
And it was which team is worse this year?
This year,
yeah.
It's the Chelsea.
Yeah,
it's the Chelsea. All right, so United win 4-1. They secure Champions League football. On the season, United have finished they will finish in the top four. If they win the last game of the season, they will finish in third. They have the Carabao Cup trophy. They have the FA Cup to play for, although they are heavy underdogs, 6-1 underdogs for that match. So I'm going to declare it a successful season, guys. I'm not even going to ask you if you think it's successful.
For United?
I think it's a successful season.
For United?
Yeah.
Successful season. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know what would be the metric where it's not. You're in an FA Cup
final.
Oh,
yeah. That's why I said you guys, yeah. There's nothing really to talk about.
Oh, I thought you were trying to say, like, we would have arguments against it.
No, no arguments. I think it's just definitive. Everybody would declare that, especially considering what happened to the other teams in the league. Now, guys, let's
successful
put the
season
in the
for
other...
Arsenal?
We're not going to get into that yet. You just wait.
Oh, okay.
We'll get there.
Look at him. He
Liverpool.
Can't even help himself.
I want to talk about Liverpool, guys. I want to shit on Liverpool, and you won't let me. Liverpool finishes in fifth. You hate to see it, guys. They put together this great run at the end of the year. They won all these games in a row. Then they go in. They have Unai Emery at home. And, guys, Unai Emery has the second most points in the Premier League since he was appointed. Which was in February, I think.
Manager of the season candidate, question mark?
For sure.
Yeah, he should be on the shortlist.
Yes. For sure.
Shortlist, yeah. Yeah, definitely. We'll declare our team of the year and our manager of the year and all that kind of stuff with the next pod, so we have something to talk about. But we're gonna stick with Liverpool here. Liverpool draw Aston Villa at home. And guys, there were penalty shouts, and there were red card shouts, and lots of complaining. And what is the word? Whinging? It's the word whinging.
I think it's just whining, and they do say whinging, but
it doesn't make sense. I know. Klopp's in the stands, guys, making phone calls, writing notes like Jose Mourinho. After his celebration in front of the ref, which I've seen a lot of weird things that managers do, but like celebrating in the ref's face after a goal was, I don't know if I've ever seen that before. Yeah, it kind of encapsulated Klopp this year. Looking back on it, you know, the wheels fell off Liverpool a long time ago, and the fact that they put together a late run will be, you know, something for them to hang their hat on. But guys, nothing felt better as a Manchester United fan than to go on Twitter this afternoon and see that Mo Salah had written the Rashford tweet.
Oh, I loved it. I loved that. I was going to bring it up.
Yes. He brought up the, so sorry we let everybody down, let the fans down. This is not where we want to be. All that. You hate to see it, Ken.
the post in the end, it was like, we had everything we needed to qualify for next season's Champions League, and we dropped the ball. He's like, honestly, I'm just too sad right now. This is not even the time for an apology post or anything like that. He's like, we failed.
The thing is, when you look at it, do you really think they had everything it took to finish in a top four?
On paper?
I don't know. They have no midfield. On paper, I think. No midfield.
Yeah, but, I mean, Newcastle doesn't really have a midfield either. Really?
That's true.
Yeah, but Newcastle spent the first half of the season playing out of bounds, and they got enough draws to... They drew into fourth.
So I'm saying, on paper, Liverpool had had the players to do it. I mean, like, going into the season, people were still like, oh, we've got Jordan Henderson. Passion, passion.
Passion.
You know? Passion, passion. You know, they love it. They love that shit. They eat it up. And they thought that was enough to... do you think any Liverpool fan went into the season thinking that they weren't going to finish top four?
No, but I also think Liverpool fans are delusional. And they've been delusional for a very long time. So I would never imagine that they would think they would do anything but finish outside top four.
Didn't you call them dumb?
I don't think they're dumb. I don't know if they're dumb, but delusional for sure.
Liverpool had 9 losses. One point in the season, I believe they lost 5 of 6. And Klopp said during that time period that if I were another manager, I'd be fired. I will give them a few points for putting together a nice run at the end, because they were sitting comfortably in 9th, I think approaching February, and looked like they weren't going to do a thing. They were down there with Chelsea, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they were.
They got their big trophy when they beat Manchester United 7-0. And got absolutely nothing else out of this season. They actually lost the next match after that, United beating 1-0 to Bournemouth, and set Bournemouth off on their run that actually kept them safe. So, guys, let's real quick on Liverpool. What do you guys think that Liverpool will do? They have made this great run at the end. They made an adjustment, turning Trent from a defensive liability into such an attacking player that he can now affect the game offensively even more than he did before. They have played well down this stretch here for the most part. Do you think that lulls them into a false sense of security where they don't reload where they need to, or do they not have enough money, James? What do they do next?
I mean, they have enough money to go out and get a bunch of mid-tier midfield players, which I think instantly makes them better than they are. Like, you know, we talk about Fabinho and everything. Like, I don't know what happened to Fabinho.
Yeah.
But I don't think after this season and like the tail end of last season, I don't think you can run him out in that midfield confidently as a starter and be like, yeah, this is how we're going to get back in the top four. Him, Jordan Henderson, by all reports, you're losing James Milner.
Yeah, he's gone.
Which, like, you know, okay, I mean, you shouldn't be having those players in midfield. You've got this young kid. They had this young kid who looked decent but had, like, a season-ending, like, Achilles rupture or whatever. He had, like, a knee injury.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, that was, like, a 9-plus-month injury. So, like, who knows how he comes back.
Yeah.
Arthur is leaving.
Did you guys see that announcement?
Yeah.
Liverpool announced, like, thank you, Arthur, for your...
professionalism.
Something. Yeah, professionalism. Yeah. I had forgotten about him completely.
One thing that 100%. Can be said about Arthur is that he is one of the Liverpool players of all times.
Yes, he is a Liverpool player.
And they've got Thiago. So, like, and Thiago, again, this season gets by on somehow, you know, just the ball sounding different coming off his feet without actually producing any measurable statistics.
Probably will end up in a team of the year anyway.
He is certainly in the running for team of the year based on what? I don't know. You'd have to listen to a Liverpool fan, but why would you want to do that anyway?
I think actually he is a major problem for them. Thiago is a perfect luxury player for a team that's looking to take the next step into the Champions League, and he is the worst player you could possibly have for a rebuilding team that needs an industrious midfield.
An entire new industrious midfield, basically. Yeah.
I think they should transfer him somewhere.
They'll never do that.
Well, it's not my team. But
I agree with you, though. So, like, of that, like, you can make a case, like, you keep Fabinho as backup. Maybe. Yeah. He can also play defense. In fact, at this point, he's probably better in defense. You probably should play him and Van Dijk in defense.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout.
And you maybe have Thiago. But, like, so you need to add three midfield players. So that's why also, like, they were talking about, like, oh, we're going to get, like, Jude wants to come to us. That was never on the table because, one, they're not going to pay for that. And, two, if they did, it would be like the Darwin Nunez transfer all over again. It's like you're not playing a two-man midfield. He isn't the answer in that two-man midfield, and you need that money to make actually three or four transfers.
So what you think they should do, based on my first question, you think they need to buy two or more center midfielders?
2 to 3 midfielders of, oh, you know, varying archetypes or whatever, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they need two to three.
I think that's actually doable if done correctly.
Yeah.
The big problem is that by not finishing the Champions League and not offering wages that can match the teams above them.
Yeah.
I think Liverpool right now in the world queue of transfers is like 10th.
That's what they're gonna have to come to grips with. No, I mean, Champions
Newcastle,
League.
Newcastle will give you more money.
Exactly.
Newcastle
and they're in the
is
Champions
in the Champions League.
League. Yeah. So Liverpool's going to have to break their wage structure because now, and they're going to be forced to if they want to get anybody worth anything, because you have to pay more to convince players to go to Europa League.
Arsenal are going to pay more money.
Arsenal, yep.
More attractive right now. Not just because they're in the Champions League. I think there's a lot of reasons Arsenal is a more attractive team than.
And Arsenal's in the same market, by the way, for the same players, same type of players.
Yeah.
Man United is looking there too. Man United's above them.
Yeah.
PSG is looking for midfielders right now. Real Madrid is going to get Jude Bellingham. Barcelona will probably have to sell one of their midfielders.
Well, Barcelona has to sell they have to sell the actual B out of their name before they'll have any.
Bayern is going to, if Bayern loses this season, there will be a big reaction out of them too.
Yeah.
They're on the cusp of losing the title.
They are. I think that Bayern very quietly has dropped into the second tier of transfers. It's not because people don't want to go there. People
They're
do
first
want to go
tier
there.
If you're in the Bundesliga already.
They're first tier in the Bundesliga, but I think Bayern is behind all the Prem teams we just mentioned because not only will they not pay the wages, they'll pay like 2/3 of the wages, like 30% less. And I mean, they can't afford to pay out 90 million, whereas there's like five clubs in the Prem that can do it.
And
you know,
their board are a bunch of clowns.
Quietly dropped down.
And their board are a bunch of clowns.
Yeah. I saw something weird. They were talking about replacing Brazo, and they're like, the big whisper is Arjen Robben. And I'm like, why do you insist on putting great ex team players, Bayern players, why do you think that they would magically have a better skill set than some nerd?
They're Yeah, like, it's an old boys
club. I want a nerd.
That's a classic old boys club. That's what it is.
That's, but it's not, they just showed it didn't work. They got in a pissing contest with Lewandowski. Those guys had the egos up there. No, and Lewandowski ended up leaving.
I'm not saying it works. I'm not saying it works.
No, it's stupid. Stupid. Anyway, so Liverpool's in trouble. It'll be interesting to see what they do. I know they're going after Alexis McAllister, but they had agreed to terms with him. But he was waiting to see if they got in the Champions League and to see what Manchester United does. And Manchester United is waiting for an ownership declaration in the next week or so. If it drags on, I guess maybe some of these players will jump ahead and go to Liverpool instead if they were in the same market.
But I mean, I don't know.
Newcastle's there.
I mean, Brighton have to think that they have a good chance of keeping him now.
Yeah.
They're on equal footing.
Yeah, why would you go from equal Brighton footing. To Liverpool? You wouldn't do that.
And you're not going to get a huge salary bump going to Liverpool.
Yes, but you will get one going to Manchester United or even Tottenham. Tottenham will pay more than
oh my God, who would want to go to Tottenham?
But Jesus. No one's yeah, we can talk about Tottenham in a minute. The Liverpool guys finish in fifth place. The writing on Twitter, it's beautiful. I have to say, it's beautiful. They had that 7-0 win over United, and it felt like both teams' seasons could go either way after that. United picked themselves up, and Liverpool did it in the end, but it was too late, guys. You hate to see it. Liverpool season, RIP. You hate to see it. All right, guys, let's move on to another RIP. That would be Arsenal's, I don't know, like, respect, Ken? Like,
let's not lose our minds.
Self-worth?
Well, wait a minute. I see what you're saying. Like, comfortably second is what you said when we were talking before, which I get. And you guys ran it down to the six games left in the season. But you were up by 8 points with 9 games remaining, and you were ending up at least 8 points down. That's a 16-point swing.
It was really
8 matches.
There was 2 games in hand really with bad. City, but yeah, the points matter. I'm not going to defend it. Look, at the season's over now. They've won the title. Arsenal's going to finish second. The table is the way it is today, the way it's going to be on Sunday afternoon, except for the bottom. Mm-hmm. There might be some moving. The way that Arsenal played this season makes fandom a real bastard, you know. It's the highest high, the lowest low. So, right when we gave up the 2-0 lead over Liverpool, that was the writing on the wall of the beginning of what was to really be the end of our title run. But at the end of the day, we were like slated to finish in sixth. So to say that the whole season has been like, you know, worthless and we didn't like deliver. When you look at it up until April, yes. If you're only going to look from April on, yeah, there no delivery. They went to the beach. They checked out. Ran out of gas, ran out of mentality, like James is going to go on again for the next 30 minutes. And is that true? Sure. But there's, I think, a lot of positive to take from this season. So we went through a lot of struggle. There were a lot of times where, well, not a lot of times, any time. No one was ever, like, ever pro-Arsenal at the top of the table. We did go through a lot of turbulent times where people said, oh, this is where they're going to lose it. Oh, just kidding. This is where they're going to lose it. Oh, wow. No, they didn't. Just kidding. This is where they're going to lose it. And yeah, we ran out. Didn't have what it takes to go through. Hopefully in the summer, there's some restructuring of the starting 11. Some players move out. Some more players come in. Some good depth comes in to alleviate the issue of the gap in talent from field to bench. So I think there's positives to take. But yeah, at the end of the day, you talk to me right now, I'm really freaking pissed about how we've ended the season. But if you asked me 9 months ago, I probably would not have expected to be solely in second place with no
concern.
You'd
have taken second?
I would have.
You, 9 months ago, someone says, All right, we'll close the season tomorrow. You get second. You're taking it?
Yeah.
As an Arsenal fan coming from the last season, yes. If all you're going to do is say, hey, last season you finished in seventh place or sixth place, whatever you finished in, I forget. Will you be happy with second next season? Yes, because what I would assume for us to jump from that place to second, there would have to be like miles, gaps, leaps jumped in not only James' mentality, because it does take a mentality to go from where you finished last season to how we played for the majority of this season. Well, whether you'll say it out loud or not.
I also think that, but that's also, I mean, you're saying that that takes mentality, but, you know, if you're sitting there clapping yourselves on the back after the collapse at the end of the season.
Oh, not clapping myself on the back. I never once have.
I'm just saying, but that is also the mentality. So you should be pissed. All the players should be pissed.
I just said I was.
And it's not a thing where you'd be like, well, I'm pissed now, but we did good.
No.
That's not a winning mentality.
No, absolutely not. But I do think that it does take growth and a mentality leap to go from where we were last season to where we are now. And I do think that this will continue into next season.
Do you think that you are in the top three odds for a title for the title next season?
Right now I would not see why not. Because I would imagine we're going to spend in the summer, we're going to add more talent. And we've already signed a handful of our current talent to long-term deals. So the core team is going to stay together. We're going to only add more, like, greater talent, not only to the field of the starting 11, but to our actual depth as well.
I don't think that Arsenal are in the top three odds for the title next season.
Okay, but they weren't this season either, and we finished in second.
I don't think you're going to be top runners to finish second.
Okay, what I'm saying is I don't care what the odds are. I'm going off of how we've played and what we did this season. This was not in the odds either.
Well, you better not be going off of how you finished the season.
I'm not. Oh, my God. You are. When you get like this, James, you're unbearable. What I'm saying is I'm not happy with how we've ended the season. It was very great to watch them for the 247 days. But at the end of the day, you're right. Very much right. It doesn't matter how long you have it if you don't have it on the last day of the season.
You don't close it.
All
joking aside, I think that Tom gets what I'm saying because Manchester United and Fergie instilled that kind of mentality in his players.
Yes.
But I think that Arteta is instilling that in the players right now.
It's not about we're not here to enjoy it. We're here to
I don't think Arteta has said in the locker room to this team in the last 6 weeks that he's proud of them. I would bet money that he is pissed and he has said so as much to them, that he is not happy with the way that we've ended the season. No matter what he's saying into a microphone or to the papers, there's no way.
I hope so.
He takes it so seriously. He said he wanted to bring winning back to Arsenal. I think that he is showing that he is setting the stones back in to get us back to where we're going to be contenders. I think we were a contender this season. I don't see right now any reason why we won't be a contender next season.
I think the reason that you guys won't be a contender next season is not only because of the way you guys finished the season this year, the last 8 or 9 matches. I think that'll hurt your mentality, but I also think next year you'll have a target on your back a little bigger. It's not going to be, I mean, United will be the same thing. You've become viable again, and that means that teams will approach you differently. Furthermore, I think that you guys got a little bit lucky in the first half of the season. Listen. Arsenal shipped 43 goals this year. That's a lot of goals, and a lot of them were at home. That's very strange to have 43 goals shipped. Normally, that would put you in fifth or sixth. United shipped 42 goals, and that's with – they had 3 games where they allowed 15. Arsenal didn't have any blowouts like that. Like, they just routinely allowed a lot of goals, especially down the stretch. They scored 83, which I believe is will I think you guys can repeat that. I think you can repeat scoring 83 goals, which that's a good number. But I don't know how you let up, how you can improve your defense, especially since
a lot of those goals and were
Gabriel played out of their minds the first half. Yeah,
and I'm not saying that Saliba's the reason we lost. You have to be able to deal with injuries for sure, and it's not like we hadn't dealt with injuries pre the Saliba injury. We had several injuries throughout the season that we handled much better than anyone expected Arsenal to. But either way, at the end of the day, the season's over. Good run, but you get nothing for it. So you have to continue to do it next season.
And next season, you're going to be in the Champions League.
Sure.
Like, here's the other thing. You were in the easy European League. You were out of your cup runs early.
True.
You know, if you're going to be competing, I don't think you do anything close to what you did this season if you are trying to compete on four fronts.
I guess we'll see.
Arsenal is in the race for fourth next year. And that may not be because they regress so much as it will be that between Manchester United, Newcastle, Liverpool, and I don't know, maybe Chelsea or Tottenham, probably not. Between one of those teams or two of those teams or three, those teams are going to be even better than they were this year. And I think that is a big
deal. I think Arsenal will be better too. So we'll see what happens next season.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not sure if Arsenal can be better than they were this year. you're going to end up, let's say you win the last game of the season, you'll have 84 points. That's the most points you've had in, I don't know, like 15 years. Like, I don't know if Arsenal can be better than they were last year without, you know, they're not going to be able to go out and do what Manchester City does where they can buy Ballon d'Or candidates. Like, you're not going to be able to do that to change your team. I don't know if there's a way to improve your team with Arteta and the style and all that stuff.
Arteta's a good manager.
More than he did.
He's like,
I don't think he's a bad manager, but I do think it was his fault that you guys fell down the stretch. I think the way he handled everything, the way he handled the media,
he's got to take a lot of the blame for sure. He's the one putting out the losses to
the bad teams that actually lost you the league towards the end of the season.
Yes.
Bournemouth. Brentford.
Liverpool.
And
Liverpool at that time, the draw there was big because Liverpool's not playing well.
Then getting absolutely tonked.
Throughout a 38-week season, there's lots of... That's why it's hard to win it. Little mistakes have big consequences. And we had a lot of little mistakes down the end. You can't let that happen. There's no escaping it, no excuse for it. It can't happen. It shouldn't happen. The only thing that I can hope for as an Arsenal fan is that this has taught the core group of players that were in it this season how they need to play for the entire 38-week season, not for 32 weeks. It's got to be for 38.
I don't think you have enough strong characters on that team.
Sure. We don't hang out with them. We don't talk to them, James. You don't know anything about them.
All right, speaking of characters, Ken, what do you do with Thomas Partey?
I hope we move on from him, honestly.
It's crazy to me because he was an important part of your
team.
He
is, but
I've
said this before, like before this whole like Thomas Partey question mark even popped up. He puts us under unneeded pressure with his lazy back passing.
I agree with you 100%, Ken. And I was gonna say too, and is exactly what you're saying, is like his limitations were shown up at the tail end of the season when you needed him to be solid the most.
Right, but what I'm saying is even when we were playing great. Yeah. When we were winning all those games, he still put us under unneeded pressure with the back passes. And then when Saliba went out, we were unable to handle that pressure because Rob Holding is four divisions weaker than Saliba. So it became a bigger problem.
True.
So for all of the things that Partey does great, which is marshal the midfield forward, he is a net negative, I think, when it comes to actually needing your center defensive midfielder to actually defend because he puts us under the pressure and then he's on a back foot and a two steps back when he needs to track back to get us because he's the reason that we're now being countered. so he's two steps behind.
Okay, so
I hope we move on from him.
So by that logic, you want him moved on completely, not even kept for depth. I guess you have Jorginho, who's there for depth,
and your boy, and then Xhaka,
and then maybe go get Caicedo. It sounds like Shaka's gone.
What?
Sounds like he's going to
Xhaka. Is a weird turn for me, because if we were playing him as the center of defensive midfielder, like we've been playing him the 4 or 5 seasons he's been with us, I'm all about him getting the hell out of here. Quickest plane, quickest flight out. I'll take up my own GoFundMe to get him out of here. But this season, playing him more up front, I do think that his experience did help the youth in the front. He was able to hold the ball up just enough to open up the creative three that we had up front. But that being said, if we lose Partey, which I hope we do, that leaves more space for him to go back in defense. And yeah, he can go do that in Germany. So,
yeah, I think it's tough for you guys, because I don't know how much you're willing to spend. I think Caicedo would be a perfect fit for you. And you need to add Champions League depth. You probably need a defensive outside back that can play in big matches. I think Zinchenko left you guys exposed with his defense, which Pep
was not a defender. Yeah, so
yeah, he's not a good defender. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But you guys are at the top of the queue in terms of prestige, Kenley, as the Champions League gets its prestige back.
Yeah. Champions League's back on my TV again, because now it's prestigious. So we'll see what happens.
Tuesdays and Wednesdays, wow. Ken. No more Thursday to Saturday games.
The boys are back.
The kids are back. And yeah, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens, and I hope that you guys are eating your words this time next year.
Well, I have never to ask this question words. For Pete. I have to ask this question for Pete. So you finished second. You had a lot of points. You played pretty football. You did not even contend for any trophies.
The difference is, now this comes from Pete, and Pete knows well what team he supports. He's been in a title race that he's and finished third one time in his entire life. Not his entire adult life, his entire life. And that counts years before he was even born and even thought of. I will not sit here and stand for a Tottenham fan coming and attacking the way that an Arsenal team plays. When I said this 5 years ago, the day they finished above Arsenal and took the Champions League spot away, they would not know what to do with themselves going forward. And I would hazard to guess that right about now, I've been proven exactly right as they finish this season, probably in eighth, no higher than seventh, with no foreseeable path forward next season to be any better.
No manager.
Any better.
They don't. Not only do they not have a manager, guys, as they lose 3-1 to Brentford and just continue to lose and lose and lose, they don't. The candidates that they're going after are now coming out and saying that they're not going there.
Again, same thing as last season.
Which, to me, this leads me to believe that the things that the managers are asking for, which at this point, when you have this many managers having these interviews and they're all coming out of it and saying no. This leads me to believe that Daniel Levy is asking for or demanding unreasonable control compared to other interviews that are happening. Because these managers are coming in, they're asking for something, and it's being flatly denied to them.
Well, I think they're asking for two things. The control to, hands down, no interference, decide the team that plays, and decide who is going to be sold, at minimum, who is going to be sold from the team. And I think that is too much for Levy to let go.
Absolutely. And I also think that any managerial candidate right now that goes into a Tottenham office or an interview is being told, this is your core group of players for the foreseeable future. I need you to do magic with these guys. Do something that no other manager's done in the last 5 years with this same 11. Keep it going.
At this point, if you look at the amount of managers who have gone into that office for an interview in the last, 2 years? 3 years? It is a very high number, and you just don't hear that kind of thing from any other club. It's not happening anywhere else. Manchester United have bad owners, but the managerial candidates have never come out of there saying, well, that's not what I'm going to do. Like, there's something crazy going on here. I think that that's exactly what's happening, Ken, is that basically I think Levy's saying you have no control over the transfer.
Yeah, what you
I
have.
I also think it points to, like, to me, like, the cornerstone of everything that's going to happen in the offseason for Tottenham revolves around Harry Kane. Does this, like, there's two ways you can read this. There's one where managers are coming in and they're being like, I want to keep Harry Kane. And Levy's like, nope, he's sold. But I think it's more likely to be the reverse.
Exactly.
Case, where the managers coming in are like, we need to sell Harry Kane and I want all of that money plus whatever to go towards a rebuild. And Daniel Levy says, I'm not promising you that.
I think it's beyond not promising.
Well, it's probably better than what he told Conte, because Conte had to have been lied to come back the second time.
I said
100% Conte was lied to. I believe that 100%.
I don't know if he was lied to, because they did give him a bunch of money. I think that it's more likely that he's the same type of guy as Jose, where they get a bunch of money and then they want more money because they see more problems. And in Conte's case, obviously, he was correct. But, I mean, how much of the squad can a team like Tottenham turn over? They're not Manchester City or Chelsea.
Well, part of the problem is that they haven't been turning over, like, they haven't been actually turning over any of it for 5 years.
Hey, who cares? Tottenham have a nice, shiny, pretty stadium that England will get to see next season. So, good for them. Good for them. That's a question for little Pete, if he ever gets back on this podcast. How do you like your bright, shiny little stadium? Because I also said that was going to be the only thing you had to show for it a couple years ago, was the new stadium.
That's your silverware? Yeah, Tottenham are going to finish in eighth almost definitely. I think there's a lot of work to be done there. That goes without saying. We've talked about it before. I am biased on this. I believe that if I'm a Tottenham fan, Harry Kane needs to be dealt with within 2 weeks. I heard today the rumors were they offered him to Real Madrid. They're trying to get another team, a foreign team, to pay for it. I believe that he is going to be 30, and teams like Bayern Munich and Real Madrid are not going to pay £80 million for Harry Kane. I think that Manchester United will pay that, and they'll pay more than that. I think you take your money and you just take the L on giving him to somebody in the division, because you're not going to be contending with Manchester United if you don't.
Do you think
sell
Daniel
him.
Levy is like,
you know, you're not. It, you're an eight.
Is so prideful that he can't even like think for a second, just a logical second, when it comes to the sale of Harry Kane. What have we gotten with him? It can't be much worse without him.
I mean, the thing is, the stats show that if they didn't have him,
sure,
it would have been in like...
Sure,
well,
but you would bring someone in to
because,
replace him.
Right. That's only because you don't know what the player behind him would have done. I mean, like, yes, Harry Kane scores those goals, and some of the goals only Harry Kane could score. But that team is set up and plays completely differently if it's not in there. So...
True,
it's impossible.
The Cristiano Ronaldo effect, the vacuum. Yeah, I just think if I'm a Tottenham fan, I'm begging them, not begging, but you have to just get settled, get sorted, get a manager in, let him know how much money he has, be like, hey, we're selling Harry Kane by June 8th. You have, we had $100 million for you before, now you have $200 million to buy 4 or 5 players. Bring in players that are hungry, players that don't have any memory of what has happened to Tottenham.
Players that have been brain wiped.
Yeah. Dude, if you're a Tottenham fan, position right now, because it looks grim for you.
Like, yeah.
My prediction, I'm going to keep repeating it. They do not have a manager by the time their preseason starts. And I'm defining that like their first game. Preseason game is July 18th against West Ham. That's the one that's on the calendar.
Starts on like June 3rd.
Right. I'm like, that's the first game that's on the calendar.
You think they go middle of July with no manager?
No, I would say their real preseason training starts July 1st or whatever.
Yeah, July 3rd or something like that. Yeah.
They don't have a manager by then.
If they don't have a manager by then...
I think it's it'll be close that they don't have a manager for the West Ham game. Ryan Mason may take charge of that game. And I think that they definitely don't have a game by the time preseason... a manager by the time preseason officially starts, July 3rd or whatever it is in England.
That would be...
You'd almost say at that point, Ryan Mason, you're the manager.
Impossible.
Because you got to bring players in.
They definitely don't actually want him.
Players need to know who's managing the team.
That would be so bad.
Levy is... Levy's 100% Levy's game is just brinksmanship. And he does it with transfers. He does it with managers. He doesn't know any other way than to leave it to the last second. But you cannot do that when the stability of these like prima donna players, some of them are such
deals
on this Tottenham team. I believe that 100%. And for their stability to be in question because you're not appointing a manager, that is what Levy is leading them to. And he does it every season with some issue.
I hope what we see, just because Daniel Levy deserves it. Pete doesn't deserve this, but Daniel Levy does.
I don't know. Don't be
surprised. I hope to see Harry Kane leave Tottenham for f***ing free next summer. Like, that to me would be just desserts for Daniel Levy. Oh, man.
That would be a colossal failure. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I think he wants to get that last dollar. It is pride for him, and he's going to take it all the way down to the end of the window. And the truth is, there is only one English team that is going after him right now. Obviously, City's out of the market, right? Arsenal's not in the market. They wouldn't pay 80 to 100
for him. Well, it would cost 200 if we wanted
him. Arsenal. So
he's never crossing
the
street.
That's what I'm saying. So it's Bayern Munich desperately needs a striker, and Real Madrid maybe. I mean, they have... What are you going to do, tell Benzema he's sitting more? Like, I don't know, you're going to sign him for 80 and sit Harry Kane? I think they try to...
Do you imagine what the Spanish media would do to a Harry Kane?
Oh, God, yeah. The most racist league in the world.
He wouldn't understand anything that they said to him, though, even if they tried to do it in English, so...
I would love that, though. I would really enjoy that. Or if he went to PSG, if Harry Kane went to PSG and didn't speak French...
I thought Harry to Bayern was something that had some legs.
It is, and it makes the most sense. And if I wasn't a Manchester United fan, if I was just a neutral fan, I would say, go ahead, Harry, go to Bayern Munich, make them a Champions League threat, give them the German league, go get some trophies. But I'm a Manchester United fan, so I want him to sign for United. I don't think that guarantees him any trophies.
Speaking of trophies, have you seen that that video going around with like Harry Kane looking like, I don't know, someone crying, and it's about this is Harry Kane watching Christian Eriksen leave Tottenham, die, go to Manchester United, and win an English trophy before.
Yeah, that was mean. That was very, very mean. But the Bayern transfer does have legs, James, but Bayern will not pay. They will not pay like 75% of what Manchester United will.
No, but so Levy doesn't. Levy has something against selling him to competition. Even though it's the same thing as with City last year. It's like Daniel Levy believes that Tottenham station is way above where it actually is. And especially if you're selling Kane, like you're in a rebuild, bud. You need to worry about selling him. You're not going to sell him to Aston Villa. You're not going to sell them to Brighton. That's your competition.
Yeah, but like I said, I mean, United will pay 25% more, and you're not going to compete with United for the next year or
so. Yeah, it was the exact same argument when City was trying to buy him last year. And Levy basically said, like, there's a price for in-league, and there's a 25% discount out-of-league. That's it. He doesn't want... that's part of his, like, pathos.
It's not a bad pathos. I don't think Bayern is a great answer for Tottenham, but honestly, you just have to have it sorted out. So if you sell him to Bayern for 60 or 70, but you do it in early June, by early June, I'd be like, you know what? You did the right thing. Like,
yeah.
You kept him out of the league, fine. You don't have to worry about him scoring. The other thing is that Harry Kane is on pace to be the highest EPL scorer ever, and he might do it in like 2 years.
Yeah.
He may not want to go anywhere else. So he might just, like Ken said, if he winds his contract down and you just left,
can go
anywhere for free.
125 million left on the table. If you count the Man City bid.
And then, can you imagine like a Harry Kane, a transfer really freeless Harry Kane? That's a £600,000 a week United contract right there.
Oh my God, they would eat that.
That's
up.
A free contract.
Oh, we would love to pay that.
They paid Sanchez $500 a week.
Shut up. Shut up, James. You know what? I do want to talk about transfer fees and salaries. Maybe next week we'll do that. Because if you look at the who's who of the top 15, really, transfers of all time, it's pretty bad, guys. It's like 10 of 15 are busts with a capital B. So we'll look into that next week. I want to talk about Newcastle next week. I want to talk about Brighton and Villa next week. We will definitely have conversations about the offseason. And then we'll have relegation,
new,
guys.
The new championship club coming up. We'll know who that is next week.
Yes, and we'll know who's going down. Will it be Everton, Leicester, Leeds? It's looking very
Leeds
much
Tottenham,
like
so
Leeds
they'll
be
fine.
Part of that.
Tottenham
well, it's not just
yeah.
a win.
And Tottenham don't want
to yeah,
win.
Tottenham wants to lose.
Yeah, exactly. So Sunday you have all these matches in play. A lot of them are dead rubber. In fact, most of them are dead rubber, except Everton versus Bournemouth. I mean, that's winnable for Everton. Leeds, Tottenham, at home for both those clubs. Leicester, West Ham. All three of them play at home. Leicester has, Everton has a 2-point advantage. So if they get a draw, they would probably beat Leeds no matter what. And Leicester could pass them with goal differential. But yeah, I mean, guys, it's going to come down to the wire here. It's worth watching those games. None of the games at the top matter. I don't think Tottenham want to finish in seventh. So
I hope they do.
The top seven is just about set.
Can we get a pod pulse on final? Who which team is staying up?
Yeah, let's start with Ken.
Between Everton, Leeds,
Leicester,
and Leicester.
Leeds, who's staying up?
My heart wants to say Leeds stays up. But
wow.
I think that the way it is right now is probably the way it ends.
James?
I think it's Everton that stays up as well.
Yep. I think it's Everton that stays up.
They
have the advantage.
Enough,
that's not just why. I think Leicester doesn't deserve to stay up based on how they manage their team.
Leicester
this year
in no way
deserves
anything.
They deserve to go down, which is sad because they were such a they were everybody's like favorite dark horse team. I mean, even as after they won the title, they were viable for years and years, and then for their owner died, and it seemed like the son when he came in just didn't have the stomach for it, did nothing this off season, and then did nothing while they wallowed under Brendan Rodgers when they could have used a kick in the ass, like, you know, 15 games in, everybody knew that it was time to move on. He was terrible last year.
Yeah.
And
That's 4 to 5. I mean, 4, 5, maybe 6 at a push. I say like mid prem level or above, like potential players.
Yeah.
That are going to be hitting the market.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
James Maddison can go to a top team.
Like, take James Maddison.
He can go to Champions League club. Vardy, yep. I think, still has something to give. He may just go down with the ship. I don't think he gives
a
fuck.
He's a badass.
But like Ndidi, I think is good.
Yep.
Castagne is good.
They have a good team. It's so crazy.
Yeah, they have a really
good. They're where
good
they are. It's the same, but you can't entertain and you can't feel bad for a club that stuck it out with Brendan Rodgers. They deserve to go down, just like you can't feel bad
games
for Leeds United. Because they played Meslier all the way to the death.
It's not just Meslier. they really made their mistake. I think they would have stayed up if they had kept Marsh. I understand why they fired him. Their form was really poor. But they didn't have a good replacement plan. And it's very clear that they don't have a good replacement plan because they brought in Big Sam. And they brought him in too late. Like if they were going to do that, they should have brought him in back when they fired Jesse Marsh. You know?
You know what? But
it's sad.
Again, you know, same thing there. I think that if Melier isn't the goalkeeper,
they're fine.
Leeds are fine. Leeds aren't even in danger of the drop. He is so bad, and been it's telling it for years that the first thing that Big Sam does, Big Sam, the expert in keeping teams up, first thing he does before he doesn't even give him a game, he just benches him.
Didn't even talk to him. I bet he just wrote on the wall.
I mean, yeah, if he'd watch any of the games, he's just like, yeah, nope, he's out.
Well, unfortunately, that means that three Americans are going down, or at least two, as McKinney is going back to Juve, I think. Where is he out of contract? Oh, there's another year.
That was a loan deal?
I hope.
I think he might have another year.
This was a loan deal.
I thought that was a permanent move.
But it sounds like Tyler Adams may go down with the ship, which is unfortunate. I think he is a decent player, but I don't know. I never saw great things out of him in the Prem. Great World Cup, but didn't see much of an advantage of him in the Prem, and it'd be unfortunate for Aronson to go down. But you know, maybe they'll blow up in the championship and get their confidence, right, guys? Hopefully.
Well, it didn't go good for them the last time they got.
So
really good,
I believe
so it might be a.
They get the golden parachutes. Yeah. They get the golden parachutes now. They're big now.
That doesn't mean much. Those teams aren't always coming right back up. It's really about getting a good manager, and none of these teams have a good manager. Except for Everton and Sean Dyche, baby. The Dyche boys get their draw against Wolves and now play a dead Bournemouth team that's on the beach. Couple last things, guys. First of all, Casemiro, when he scored today, he has 15 goals/assists in all comps, including the World Cup this year. That is more than any Chelsea player. Despite Casemiro playing 75% of the season and playing as a defensive midfielder, he outscored every single Chelsea player on the team, regardless of how many matches they played. That is so bad. It's really bad. Anything else to add? James Lewis.
Mm-hmm. Well, no. No, my big thing at the end was who's staying up, and it's Everton. In my mind.
Okay.
Again, that's it. And, Kenley? Yeah, City champions. Arsenal lack mentality to ever really compete at the highest level anymore. They lost it. They're out. Champions League is the highest they can ever hope to achieve. And I think they struggle to finish top four next season.
Ken?
No. I'll let James live. I'm going to let him live his life right now. But that's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, it's on top. He's on top.
It's on top.
His
team is about 2-1 to win the treble, and they are, I believe, they are the highest favorites in Champions League history. The last I saw was 6.5-1 +650.
Did you see? Have you watched any of Inter's recent games?
Yes, I have.
They're not good.
I even watched them in the league. They are. I bet Inter would be in 10th place in the Prem.
They'd give Chelsea a run for their money.
Yeah. And so it comes down to United to try and hold off the treble. And United, I believe, are 5-1 underdogs.
Dude, what are you going to do when Lukaku drops a hat on you?
That drops a hat.
I'm more worried about Dzeko.
I would be
the
more
old blue boy.
All right, guys. For Ken Lee and James Lewis, Dr. Pete, who's maybe being held hostage again, I'm Tom Miller saying I hope everybody has an awesome week.
God, yeah.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Yeah, you got to think, like, Pete is sitting at home. He's got a little mini terrorist, and he's a Tottenham fan.
Yeah. Well, at least his wife doesn't actively root against his team, though, Ken, to be fair.
He did name one of his kids after Big Sam.
That's true story.
He really did. You never convince anybody that he didn't.
Yeah. Either that or Sammy Sosa, James. One of the two.
Okay. I'll take that. Modern Logos is worse.